नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 9th canto, 9th chapter, the dynasty of Amshuman. Text 18. Since it doesn't have purport, we are going to continue reading until 29. No, sorry. Yes. Until 28, actually. So I'm just going to read the translation and we are going to read the Sanskrit together in the 28th. Sarvakama had a son named Sudasa, whose son, known as Saudasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Saudasa, sometimes known as Mitrasaha or Kalmashapada, because of his own misdeed, Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vasishtha to become a man-eater, Rakshasa. King Parikshit said, "O Shukadeva Goswami, why did Vasishtha, the spiritual master of Saudasa, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me." Shukadeva Goswami said, "Once Saudasa went to live in the forest, where he killed a man-eater, Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. One day, the king's spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cook served him human flesh. While examining the food given to him, Vasishtha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Saudasa to become a man-eater." Jai? Sorry for him, you know. When Vasishtha Muni understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa, not by the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Saudasa took water and chanted the Shapa mantra, preparing to curse Vasishtha, but his wife Madayanti forbade him to do so. Then the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky and the surface of the globe were full of living entities everywhere. Saudasa thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot, for which he was known as Kalmashapada. Once King Kalmashapada saw a Brahmana couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa and being very hungry, King Saudasa seized the Brahmana. Then the poor woman, the Brahmana's wife, said to the king, "Oh hero, you are not actually a man either. Rather, you are among the descendants of Maharaj Ikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madayanti. You should not act religiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please, therefore, return my husband who has not yet impregnated me." Now we chant the text 28 that has a purport. Dehoyam manusho rajan purushasya kilartanat purushasya kilartanadat tasmadasya vado vira sarvarta vada uchyate. Dehoyam manusho rajan Purushasya kilartadaha. Tasmadasya vadovira. Sarvartha vada uchyate. Vaishnavis, Deha, body, I am this, Manusha, human, Rajan, O King, Purushasya, of the living entity, of the living being, Akila, universal, Artada, beneficial, Tasmat, therefore, Asya, of the body of my husband. Vada, the killing. Vira, O hero. Sarvartha Vada, killing all beneficial opportunities. Uchyate, it is said. O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu Manushya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Nabajiya Janiya Shuniya Bishakainu. The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body one can understand the instructions of Krishna and attain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness, but because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes bodies one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, in this body he can fulfill the four principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And if one is properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is success of life, to stop the process of repeated birth and death, and go back home, back to Godhead, Mameti, to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Throughout human society, killing of human beings is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in slaughterhouses, and no one cares about them. but the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. So, amazing story, isn't it? Bhagavatam, where you read far out stories. Saudasa, the one who was cursed to become a man-eater, in his dynasty, Lord Ramachandra appeared. He was a descendant of Ikshvaku, another great king. So just see, by destiny, things happen, no? We can learn some lesson from this story. One lesson is that demons are ungrateful. Because it is said that the king killed a Rakshasa in the forest, but he spared his brother. And what the brother did, was he grateful that he spared my life? No, he decided to take revenge. And how did he take revenge? Did he fight the king? No. He knew the king will kill him. He was more powerful than him. So he disguised himself as a cook, and, you know, somehow or other he found a way to be given the job of a cook in the king's palace. So Vasishtha Muni was invited for dinner, and the cook was told, you know, you prepare the best dishes you can. So, to take revenge, he put human flesh in the soup. So he could not see it so easily, you know. But Vasishtha Muni, with his mystic power, he could perceive it wasn't appropriate for eating. He could understand. But then he jumped to conclusion that must be the king's misdeed. He is giving me this. And it's also a fact that a king is, or any, you know, leader in society, is responsible for the misdeed of his subordinate. Mm-hmm. So without thinking it further, Vasishtha Muni became so angry that this king is giving me human flesh to eat. He cursed him to become a Rakshasa himself. Then he found out later, of course, Vasishtha Muni is a pretty powerful yogi, but he's not omniscient. He could not know, he's not Paramatma in the heart of everyone, as Krishna is, to know everything about everybody. So he knew certain things. He knew that the food wasn't appropriate because it had human flesh, but he didn't know who cooked it. Or was the king arrangement or not. So then he regretted his hasty decision, you know, jumping to conclusion. And he had to do 12 years of austerities to counteract that curse, you know, to a faultless king. And the curse has to happen, so the king start to see living entities everywhere, you know, meaning as a food. He start to see human being as food. So he decided to go into the forest to avoid eating anybody in the city. So he said, "In the forest I will be safe, you know." But no, in the forest there was a couple, a brahmana and wife, trying to have a child in the forest. He sees the man, the brahmana, and the wife is crying, "Please, you are not a Rakshasa, you are a king. You are a descendant of a great king Ikshvaku, you are a great hero yourself. Please return my husband. And this human life is very important. If you kill him untimely, you are also taking away all the benefits of human life from him. Please don't do that." But nature is very strong. Once he acquired that nature of a Rakshasa. He just couldn't help himself. He was too hungry. And the only food Rakshasa eat is human beings. So he had no choice. I mean, he couldn't control himself. It was beyond him, you know. That's called destiny. Very powerful. Destiny is very powerful. So, Prabhupada explaining in the purport this song by Narottam Das Thakur. Actually, once Prabhupada was asked which song was his favorite song. And he mentioned this song, Hari Hari Bifale. O Lord Hari, I spoiled my human life. Instead of worshipping Radha and Krishna, I was drinking poison, willingly drinking poison in the form of material sense gratification. Why sense gratification is considered poison to the soul? Because the soul gets too attached to it and can't give it up. Doesn't want to give it up. So that's poison for the soul, because by nature the soul is blissful, eternal, and full of knowledge. But due to the covering of Maya, the influence of passion and ignorance, the soul forgets his mission in life and try to be happy only with material sense enjoyment. So that's poison to the soul. And the poor soul doesn't even realize that became enslaved. He thinks still I'm free to do whatever I want. But no, he's a slave to lust, greed, anger, envy, and all these bad companions. It's like if somebody is at home and suddenly appeared six people knocking on the door. We have something important. Okay, please come in. They sit in the sofa. They don't want to go away. And you want to be polite. You don't want, you know, call the police or make a scene. What you have to do to make them go peacefully? Don't feed them. When they feel hunger, they have to go find food somewhere else. In the same way, you know, the Red Indian Sioux, they had a saying that every human being has a good dog and a bad dog in the heart. You know, the good dog, all the goodness, all the good qualities, and the bad dog, all the bad qualities, anger, greed, anger, lust, and all these things. So they say, what do you have to... And they're always fighting each other. So if you want the good dog to win, what do you have to do? Feed the good dog and starve the bad dog. So when we engage our mind in thinking of these things, kama, krodha, lobha, matsarya, etc., we are feeding the bad dog, making it stronger. And it becomes strong, then can defeat the good dog. So, Prabhupada explaining that human life offered the opportunity to fulfill the four principal mission in life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. To be religious, to develop economically, to fulfill one's desires, and finally to attain liberation. But that's not the goal itself. After liberation, one has to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada said. So the ultimate goal is pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this fifth goal in life, Prema Pumarto Mahan. The highest goal of life is to achieve Krishna Prema, love of Godhead. So, today we are celebrating Tirubhav Mahotsava, disappearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It is appropriate to speak also about him. He was born in the year 1503 in South India, Ranganath Chetra. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the year 1511, that means Gopal Bhatta at that time was only 8 years old. In the 4 months, Chaturmasya, Lord Chaitanya stayed at Venkata Bhatta's home, that is father of Gopal Bhatta. And they became close friends. Sometimes they would laugh and joke together. They developed Sakya Rasa. And the little boy, Gopal Bhatta, he will serve the prasad and with the Lord's permission take the remnant. Sometime Lord Chaitanya will sit him on his lap and talk to him very affectionately. So the boy became very, very attached to Lord Chaitanya. And once Lord Chaitanya was joking with Venkata Bhatta, his father, and asked him, "Why your Lakshmi wants to associate with my Krishna? Is she not being unfaithful to her husband Narayana?" So, then he said, "Well, according to the scripture, there is no difference between Narayana and Krishna. Different forms of the same Supreme Lord. So, the desire of my Lakshmi to associate with Guru Krishna is appropriate because it's another feature of the Lord. It's out of fun she wanted, you know, to do that. It's no fault in her chastity, that desire." Lord Chaitanya said, "That's correct. But can you tell me why she was not able to achieve her desire to dance in the Rasa Leela with Krishna?" And he said, Venkata Bhatta said, "That's beyond my understanding. Since you are the Supreme Lord, please you explain it to me." He realized Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself. By the mercy of the Lord. I had the fortune to visit the house of Venkata Bhatta and Rangana Chetra. And you could see there deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra made with the hands of Lord Chaitanya. He made those deities for Venkata Bhatta to him to worship. So anyway, when Lord Chaitanya after the 4 months has to leave, all the family were devastated. Gopal was fainted actually. He had so much love for Lord Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and instructed him, "For the time being you stay with your parents, take care of them. When they pass away, you can come to Vrindavan and seek my disciples Rupa and Sanatan, take shelter in them." So he did that. He followed the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. When he was a young man, sometime he was lamenting, "I missed the opportunity to see the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip when he was performing the Sankirtan at the house of Srinivas Thakur and all other those pastimes. I missed all this. How unfortunate I am." Then Lord Chaitanya, in a spiritual vision, revealed to him all this Navadvip Lila, all those wonderful pastimes. And then when his parents passed away, they died remembering Lord Chaitanya. They became completely devoted to Lord Chaitanya after that. And then he went to Vrindavan. And Rupa and Sanatan gave him shelter there. And Rupa Goswami sent a letter to Jagannath Puri to inform Lord Chaitanya of the arrival of Gopal Bhatta. So Lord Chaitanya, he was very happy to hear the news. And he sent gifts to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He sent a Brahmin thread, a kopina, and a wooden seat. Dark wood seat to sit on. These three gifts he sent to him. That seat is still there in Radharaman temple. People, the pujari worship that seat where Gopal Bhatta used to sit. So once Gopal Bhatta did the pilgrimage, he went to Mandakini River to take a bath. That's in Nepal, in the Himalayas. And while taking bath with his lota, 12 Shalagram Shila jumped inside his lota. He put them back and they jumped back again. That went on like for a few times, you know. Finally said, if the Lord wants to come with me in this form as Srila, how can I deny? So he brought them back, and he will carry them in a cloth around his neck and worship them daily. He became known as the Shalagram Srila Pujari. But one day, one wealthy man gave him some gifts, some ornaments for deities, and even some dresses. So he will go to visit every day the temples of Madam Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. These were like the main deities in Vrindavan. You know, these three deities were ordered to be done by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranabha. You know, when Krishna took with him all the Vrijavasis back to Goloka, Vrijamandal was practically empty. At that time, Maharajanamejaya, Maharaj Parikshit's son, he was the emperor. So he gave Vajranabha all Vrijamandala to rule. So Vajranabha brought people from the neighboring area to populate again Vraja, and he constructed temple and established deity worship of Krishna, his great-grandfather. But he wanted to have one special deity of Krishna. So he asked, what is the name of the architect, of the demigod? Vishvakarma. He asked him, make this deity of Krishna. But who he consulted to make a perfect deity of the Lord? He consulted with the two last people on the planet who have seen Krishna personally. And those were Uttara, the mother of Maharaj Parikshit. He was very old. And Uddhava, who was also very, very old. So he consulted with them, and according to the direction they gave him, he instructed Vishvakarma to make deities. So Vishvakarma made these three deities, Madam Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. And then he brought Uttara and Uddhava to see the deities, and they were pleased. They were pleased with the work of Vishvakarma. But he still asked them, which one of them resembled more Krishna? And they both said, Madam Mohan has the perfect feet and legs like Krishna. And Gopinath have this small waist and ample chest like Krishna. And Govindaji has the moon-like round face like Krishna, Govindaji. So Krishna appeared in three deities, not in one, but in three. Among Gaudiya Vaishnava, it is said, if one sees these three deities in the same day, he had the darshan of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like he have seen Krishna personally, you know. So anyway, he will visit these three temples and other temples, of course. And in the day of the appearance of Lord Narsinghadev, he was praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, you appeared as Narsinghadev. By the way, talking about Narsinghadev, I hear the tape when Prabhupada here in Los Angeles taught devotee how to chant the mantra of Narsinghadev. Have you heard that tape? And how he pronounced the words are exactly as we have them in the songbook. We change it with the time. Just let me mention a few words just to for your information. We say Hiranyakashipu Bakshaha. Hiranyakashipor is O-R. The same when we chant the Mangal Arati is Mahaprabho. It's not Mahaprabhu. It's an O. O means to him. To Mahaprabhu. He's chanting the Kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Anyway, and ito, not everything is Nirsimho. What to speak of Nirsinga? It's an H. It's not a G. Ito Nirsimha parato Nirsimho. Yato yato yamitato Nirsimha. There is one Nirsimha, one Nirsimho, another Nirsimha, then comes two Nirsimho, and it's Bahir, it's not Bahir, like we always say. Bahir doesn't mean anything in Sanskrit. Bahir means outside. Bahir Nisingo, Hridaye Nisingo. He's outside and he's also in the heart. I learned through the years that when we chant mantras, we should meditate in every word's meaning, so we can absorb our mind more in what we are saying, not just repeat mechanically the thing, because we learned for many years and our mind is maybe somewhere else. No, we should perfect our chanting, our meditation, by knowing the meaning of every word we are saying, or at least the sentence, you know. Oh. So, since Prabhupada, you know, chanted the proper way, we should try also, you know. There's maybe some small detail, not so important, but, you know, doesn't harm to know, to improve a little bit in the pronunciation of Sanskrit. It's not our mother language, of course, but still we should try, you know, to do it a little better. Well, isn't a bad idea, isn't it? So he prayed to Lord Narsingha, to Lord Krishna, since you appeared as Lord Narsingha to protect Prahlad's devotion, Prahlad's life, please, Lord, appear in your beautiful form as Tribhanga, three-curved form, you know, so I can dress you and worship you more personally. So he cried to the Lord very sincerely, and after midnight he fell asleep. And when he woke up next morning, one of his Shila, the Damodar Shila, self-manifested itself as Radharama. Nobody carved him. He just, the sun melted and transformed itself into Krishna's form. Amazing miracle, isn't it? I mean, even they have studied the deity. There was no trace anywhere of anybody touching the deity to make it or anything. So, I had the good fortune to befriend the pujari there, and he showed me the back of the deity. And the back of the deity is that you can see still the Shalagram Shila opened up like that. I manifested the deity, and in the back there are still the round stones from the Shila that opened up like that. Amazing, isn't it? Then he invited all the Goswamis to come and have darshan of the deity. When Sanatana Goswami saw the beautiful form, small beautiful form of Radharaman, he said, he has the same beautiful feet as my Madan Mohan. And then, what is the name of the pujari of the Gopinath temple? The original one. Anybody remember his name? He was worshipping Gopinath. Anyway. He said, he has the same big, beautiful chest as my Gopinath. And Rupa Goswami said, he has the same beautiful, moon-like face as my Govindaji. Then Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood, oh, Krishna fulfilled my desire. He wanted to have a deity like these three deities. And because of fear of the attack of the Muslims, those deities, the majority of the deities of Vrindavan, they took shelter with Maharaj Jai Singh. And where? Jaipur, yes, Jaipur. So, and because Radharaman is very small, was easier to hide him while the Muslim came to invade, you know. They destroyed, you know, part of the Govindaji temple. They dismantled it out of envy, because Rupa Goswami was doing a big fire yagya on the top of the temple. And this one king, what was his name? Aurangzeb. His wife told him, they were at the roof of their palace, oh, see, the sun is setting so early from Agra. But actually was the fire yagya on the top of the Govinda temple. So he became envious of that was so tall building. He decided to dismantle part of it. So they took the deities away for protection. So it is said in the Gauranganadesh Deepika that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was Ananga Manjari. Some others say that he was Guna Manjari. So, is an eternal associate of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he felt guilty that my parents instructed me before they passed away that I always should worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm worshiping Krishna, Radharaman. So he felt a little guilty that I'm not following my parents' instruction. But then to ease his mind, Radharaman will show to him his form as Lord Chaitanya. He will see the deity and he will see Lord Chaitanya and the deity manifest every day. So his heart became peaceful after seeing the loving reciprocation. That's the whole thing about loving reciprocation must develop with the Lord and through our practice of daily devotional service and by purifying our mind, our heart from all material contamination, then gradually we shall become free from material designations and then we can worship Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. That's the goal of human life. Isn't? But that's why Narottam Das Thakur, another song, he said, what is that song? Anybody remember? Bishaya choriya kabe shuddha abhiman kabe hamohera bo shri brindavan. Only when my mind will be completely free from any thoughts of material sense enjoyment, then I will be able to see Vrindavan. Prabhupada explained to us when he visited South America, he said, Vrindavan is not just a geographical place in India. It's all-pervading. Wherever one can be, if one is remembering Krishna, then one is living in Vrindavan. Prabhupada carried Vrindavan in his heart everywhere he went. And he established that mood everywhere he went. Loving service to the Lord. That's the mood. Loving mood. So, Prabhupada explaining that every day they kill hundreds and thousands of animals and nobody care, but we care. I mean, devotees should care. We feel for the animals. Sometimes there are activists, you know, they try to stop the thing and go to the place and nobody can stop it unless people change their mentality. They change their consciousness. It's not enough just to be vegetarian anyway. I've seen devotees emphasize too much vegetarianism to preach to people. And some people become vegetarian, but not necessarily Krishna conscious. But if they become Krishna conscious, that comes automatically. We don't have to make an extra effort to make them vegetarian. So, some or other, we should try to understand how important this human life is to fulfill the highest mission, which is to achieve love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, Prema Pumar Tumahan, and taking very seriously our chanting of the holy name of the Lord, give a real valuable time, proper time to chanting, to concentrate in the chanting, avoiding offenses, avoiding... The most common offense we commit in the chanting is we chant inattentively. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, unless we try to rectify this offense, that can bring other offenses too. So we have to work mainly on that, how to concentrate in the chanting. So Mahaprabhu brought us the solution to all our problems. No? Golokera Premadana Harir Nama Sankirtana. No, the Sankirtan movement is not from this material world, it's coming from the spiritual world. In his teaching to Narada Muni, Lord Krishna told him, Naham basami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yat tatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami Narada. O Narada, I'm not living in Vaikuntha, nor am I living in the heart of the yogis. Then Narada asked, then my Lord, tell me please, where are you living? And Krishna said, yatra gayanti mad bhakta, wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, tatra tishtami Narada, I am present there, personally. We often hear this, that Krishna and his name are none different. But if we actually are convinced fully of this, we'll pay full attention to our chanting, because this is our connection, it's our relationship with the Lord. Some young devotees in Mexico, Guadalajara, they came to ask me that we're having problem in chanting. We chant very few rounds. We should be chanting 16, but what can we do? I told them, look, you have to be convinced. This is your connection with Krishna through the chanting. You can't actually achieve love for Krishna and neglect his holy name. Mm-hmm. Or chant it unattentively or mechanically. We have to make an effort to try to concentrate in our chanting. And by doing that, all the blessings of the holy name will one day be revealed. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he said something very wonderful. He said, don't try to artificially meditate on Radha and Krishna Leela. Rather, try to chant the holy name offenselessly. And in the course of time, the holy name will reveal everything, the form, the qualities, the pastimes of Krishna. Everything is revealed in due course of time. We should be eager, but at the same time patient, at the same time sincere, at the same time feeling helpless and in need of the Lord's mercy. If somebody feels very needy, then the Lord naturally will feel more inclined to help first, isn't it? So, thank you very much for coming to the Bhagavatam and listening. Give me the opportunity to do some seva for all of you. So, any comments or questions? Yes. We have a mic around here. It's okay. I will repeat your question. Please do. Okay, the question is that the king became Rakshasa, he could not control himself of eating a human being. So we were born Melechas, so how can we learn to control ourselves? Isn't that the question? Okay, so Prabhupada once, when he started the movement in New York, one young boy brought LP, you know, disc, you know, music, record of Ravi Shankar music. And he wanted to play it in the temple, thinking it was a spiritual or something. But Prabhupada stopped it. He said, no, that's sense gratification. And the boy became a little disturbed. And he told Prabhupada, But when you were young, you were listening to this music. And Prabhupada said, because I was born naked doesn't mean I have to go on naked all my life. Whatever our birth is, we have to improve. We have to improve. The mission of human life doesn't matter what kind of birth. After all, it is said that in Kali Yuga, everybody is born Shudra. Oh. Isn't? So, doesn't mean we have to remain Melecha Shudra all our life? No. We have to follow the instruction of the Shastra and Guru that we should fulfill the mission of human life. It's so important, this human form of life, to waste it in the propensity, of animal propensity of eating, sleeping and sex life. Mm-hmm. Of course, here it's very nice to explain that sex life is meant for begetting nice children. And that's what the Brahmana was trying to have a child with his wife, but he was stopped. So that's part of regulated life. Yeah, if you are not Krishna conscious, you are forced to act under the modes of nature. But if somebody becomes Krishna conscious and asks Krishna, please, you are Rishikesha, you are the master of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. If one engages the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, then he can control our senses. It's by mercy, it's by sincere effort also. Well, once the devotee were discussing about that, and one said, if we want to get the mercy of Krishna, we must follow strictly, you know, all the four regulative principles. And the other said to him, unless we get Krishna's mercy, we will not be able to follow the strictly there. So, both things go together. We have to make an effort and at the same time ask for mercy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to remind my dear God brother.
Okay.
Our advantage, Namo Maha Vadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate. We are living in the era of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The most magnanimous of all forms of Krishna makes anything possible. And that's how you can control your senses, by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy.
Thank you, Ramesh Prabhu. Arriva. Yeah, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a child can recite poetry. Even
just the last point, what yeah. I was thinking was, okay. By Prabhupada's mercy, he brings Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And then it says, you're free from your karma. You know, we used to say that a lot. You know, if you accept
yeah.
the spiritual...
Prabhupada mercy. Explained, it's like a fan. If you put off the fan, it will not stop immediately. Still will go around for a little while. One have to be patient, not to turn it on again. Oh, it's not going to, we're never going to stop. One is too impatient. One's the thing right now, you know. Like one girl wrote a letter to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I've been in the movement 6 months, chanting 16 rounds, following the four rules every day. Why do I still get sick? It's not like that. We have to be patient. And yes, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This question that Madan Mohan asked is very important because I think it sprang from a statement that you made in your class that the king was acting helplessly under fate. It was fate. He had to act like that. So anybody can use that excuse. But the difference here is that he was cursed. You see?
That's a different story.
We're given the opportunity to make the decision to try to become Krishna conscious. Because he was cursed by Vasishtha Muni, he could not help himself. This story is really told in detail in the Mahabharata about Kalmashapada and Vasishtha. And it goes on. I mean, not only did he kill other people, he actually killed the son of Vasishtha. And Vasishtha was trying to commit suicide. I mean, it was just, it's a big story.
I know the story. Mahabharata is the old story.
Yeah, but the
actually, after the 12 years, he was Rakshasa. Yeah. He wanted to approach his wife to have a child with his wife, but the wife reminded him, you will die if you do that. Because the wife of the Brahmana cursed him after he ate her husband. When you approach your wife to beget a child, you will die. So he was not able to, you know, do that. So he asked Vasishtha Muni to beget a child for him in the womb of his wife. And that's what happened. So anyway, and Vasishtha Muni, he was in the Ramayana and also in the Mahabharata. He lived so long. I mean, it's amazing. How can he live that long? It's, you know, that's the yogi's power, you know. Hare Krishna. So many lessons from the scriptures. Huh? I mean, imagine he became Rakshasa means he had to eat something. But Rakshasa's food is human flesh. I mean, understand? So by the power of the curse, he was helpless. So fortunately, nobody's cursing us, you know, to not to control our senses or anything like that. And in Kali Yuga, anyway, Brahmana doesn't have the power to. Once a devotee went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this Brahmana cursed me. Prabhupada said, don't worry. The Brahma Teja has lost with Sringi in Kali Yuga. Anyway, Brahmana is not supposed to curse anyone, but to bless. So. Very good, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Mm-hmm.